I can't even do this.
All right.
Yes, you can.
Welcome to Off the God. Sounds like a freaking Green Sooners podcast. Welcome to Off the Cut, episode 87. We're up in Toronto, and here in Ohio, today is known as Tuesday, October 24th, 2023. And on this day in history, the Green Sooners podcast, the worst woodworking podcast available on Apple and Spotify, started selling Ted's woodworking plans in an attempt to actually have something interesting to talk about.
Oh my God.
Do you remember that?
No.
You don't remember Ted's woodworking plans?
Nuh-uh. I'm going to look it up right now.
Oh, Zach, come on. Have you been on social media in the last 5 years?
No,
there's different versions of it, too.
Or how about
it's just like a big package of woodworking plans?
Basically.
Yeah. So The idea is that have you heard of the 16,000 woodworking plans scam?
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Okay.
So for people who don't know about this, like all these accounts basically try to get you to like buy this set of woodworking plans. If you buy them, they're just tons of haphazardly stolen plans from tons of other people that may just have like one random diagram of something and missing all of the other information.
Oh, really?
So it's just a big pile of garbage that's also stolen garbage.
Wow, okay. I had always assumed what it was just somebody stealing a bunch of plans.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that they left out a bunch of pertinent information.
Yeah. Steve Ramsey did a big expose on them a couple years ago. He bought it for himself. Yeah. Just to see what it was. He said it was just 100% just hot garbage.
That's so funny.
Yeah. But how they get everybody to promote it is it's something like a something insane, like a 90% affiliate commission.
Yeah.
So if they sell this thing that's like, you know, $100, they get like $90 there.
Right.
So it's a scam.
If it wasn't so evil, it would be kind of smart.
Well, what have you been up to, Zach? I saw you put out the Nintendo 64 video today. Haven't watched it yet, but my inner nostalgia really peaked and I really wanted to click on it. Just didn't have the time. And I had to give you the respect of giving you the 100% watch.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That video is out. It's doing pretty well. It was nice to get it off the plate because I've been working on that video since like August. And just like kind of bits and pieces like here and there, because there was like delays waiting for the 3D printer and all sorts of stuff. I put that out, very happy with how it's doing. And I spent all of today in the shop testing my DIY air quality meter.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I was using different tools, like seeing how it affects air quality, seeing how long it takes it to like go back to normal afterwards. I test a bunch of different finishes, different paints. So, yeah.
Do you have any spoilers or not ready to release any spoilers?
I'll give you a couple little ones. Like I suspected, I think we talked about this before, you definitely want to be vacuuming your shop floors and not sweeping. Do not sweep your shop floors. And also, welding. Just blew all of the meters on this machine just completely off the charts.
Okay. What kind of welding are we talking? What kind of welding are we talking about?
MIG welding.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense, though.
I guess. Like, it's like superheated gases, and things are burning. But the thing that I was the most surprised by was it created a ton of particulates in the air. Very, very small particulates that, like, dust that I couldn't even see with my eye. But it was just off the charts on the meter.
Did you research it to figure out like what the particulate was?
No, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that before the actual video finishes. I just got home like 30 minutes ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm curious if it's like, is it bits of metal, like almost like microscopic pieces of like slag or like.
Maybe, or maybe smoke. It's something combusting. Yeah, maybe it's a smoke. I did clean the metal pretty well beforehand, so it shouldn't have too much smoke, but I don't know.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Like, if the metal was dirty or had some grease or, you know, contaminants on it, as soon as you superheat it, you're burning that.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, CO2... VOCs and particulate matter were just completely off the charts, which I was not expecting. And same thing with grinding, too. I thought grinding metal, I was like, well, the metal flakes will be pretty heavy, so they'll probably fall out of the air quickly.
Right.
But they stayed suspended in the air for a long time.
Now, see, that's shocking to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
So... I think there's something about metal getting really hot that makes it, I don't know if it vaporizes and it gets in the air or something like that. It'll be interesting to kind of dig into it and do a little more research and see.
Yeah. So are you thinking of doing all of those things in one video, or kind of like segmenting like finishes in one video, like woodworking stuff in one video, metalworking stuff in one video? What are your thoughts?
I think I'm going to do it all in one video, and then we'll see what the response is. And if people want me to dive more into some things, then I will then do that.
Okay.
Oh, and the other one that was really surprising, cutting MDF on the table saw. Basically no dust, no particulate matter in the air.
Really? Because everyone says that, like, oh, you do anything to MDF, it's the biggest culprit in the world.
I know. Well, the funny thing was, on the miter saw, dust everywhere. And
right,
just off the chart
readings.
But on the table saw, for whatever reason, maybe it's my table saw has like... But I ran it with both the dust collection on and the dust collection off. Dust collection off, there was like a tiny little spike. Little bump. And it took a while to like settle in the air. But with the dust collection on, it was like nothing.
Well, see, now I want to see, I now if the video goes well, I got ways that you can dive in and, like, you know, just rip this video off and make more. You can say like, does the blade height matter? Does the blade type matter? Does how hard you're pushed, like your feed rate matter for dust collection?
I think feed rate probably matters, because I did notice that if I pushed it slower, it was better at collecting the dust. And if I pushed it quickly, there was
more. Which makes
sense. Which makes sense, yeah. So there are a whole bunch of different variables you can test. But at the end of the day, I spent all day, I got to the shop at like 9:30 this morning until 6:30-ish. And I only was able to do like surface level testing on a bunch of things, because I wanted to see. So one of the things I did was I would do all the test, or I would do a test. I would kick a bunch of dust up in the air while I was working with a tool. And then I would see how long it took for the air quality levels to normalize.
Right.
And so basically I'm doing a test and then I'm waiting, some cases 15, 20, 30 minutes for things to go back to normal. So it was that kind of slowed down the testing process a lot.
Yeah, that makes sense, because you do one test and now you're like, well, I'm just going to sit here for a half hour and like piss away time.
Especially some things, like I sprayed spray paint and I'm there and it's like 45 minutes later, it's like, yeah, still reeks like spray paint in here.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, we've all spray painted something, and like sometimes you put on your safety, you know, nose plug, but really you're like, I'll hold my breath, I'll be all right. Just a couple quick, psh, psh, you'll be good.
Another quick little hot tip for me. Don't do that. Spray paint was one of the worst things on, again, on multiple axes. So I think it'll be a fun video.
I think I'm finding ways you can dive in more and more and more, because that's the strategy on YouTube. If something works well, you basically repeat it slightly differently.
Yeah.
Insider baseball there. So you could do the table saw alone. You could be like, do these super expensive overarm dust collection things actually do anything? Like, what's the SawStop one? Like $700?
I know, it's crazy. I was going to say early on in my, like, I kind of wrote out like a rough outline.
Sure.
And I was like, I should outline that I don't have a lot of dust collection on my table saw, because one, it's very clunky. Like, having that guard directly above the blade is kind of a pain in the butt.
Especially
and also, it's expensive. So I was going to make, like, all these apologies, and then I was going to be like, well, but this is probably more representative of what most people's table saws are actually like.
And that could be, then you go, like, skirt. But I spent $750 on the overarm dust collection, and it sucks. But it made a 45% increase. So, like, is it worth the $700? Because, like, I know tons of people who they get a new saw stop and they're like, oh, I got to get the Overarm Dust Collection.
Yeah.
They use the saw for like a month and then they never touch it again.
Yeah. 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 It's, yeah, I wonder if I actually have it somewhere. I've got that table saw so long ago.
It should have come with like the, so they have the, like the thin one.
They have two. Yeah. They have the thick one. And then they have like the
4-inch port one too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember. I think I have the thin one for sure somewhere. I think that's it, though. And I don't even use that, because even that's a pain in the butt.
Right. I had the thin one came with the Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, surprise. Like, the dust collector that I have is awful. So it barely pulls dust out of the bottom of the saw, let alone splitting that up into two different things. Yeah. Like, I, like, held dust right next to it, and it, like, took a little bit. It says, like, there's no point of doing this.
Yeah.
The mine's blocked off.
But yeah.
I don't know. That's interesting, though.
Mm-hmm.
MDF. And that's going to piss people off. Here's the title. Mm-hmm. You're wrong about MDF.
Ooh.
Everything you know about MDF is wrong.
Well, that's not bad. Hold on. I'm going to write that down for a second.
Because that is going to get people fired up. And then, so then your quick hook in the video could be like, everyone says MDF is the biggest dust culprit in the shop. Not the truth.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I'm Zach. We're going to dive into this, you know, talk about this. I think that'll be a great hook for the video.
So it was interesting. I, like, at the start of it, I was like, because, you know, you realize how much you can iterate on this idea, right? So I was thinking, how can I do this? Like, should I do wood? Should I do MDF? Should I do particle board? And then I was like, okay, well, let's just eliminate that variable and I'll do everything with MDF because that will be the worst of all the possible things. And now I'm kind of wondering to myself, well, maybe I should test with a little bit of pine or something like that and see if it changes anything.
I mean, that could even, but you don't want to address all of the YouTube comments in video one. You want people to be pissed off.
Sure.
So that you can be like, you know, people got really mad about me only using MDF in this, so I had to use pine. Or like, what about plywood? What about melamine? Like, if you try to cover everything in video one, you're limiting your video potential.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. I mean, it's all about the sequels, right?
Right.
If the Avengers taught me anything, it's all about the sequels.
Always leave it open for a sequel.
What about you? What were you working on today?
Dude, I am so freaking close to being done with that damn chessboard.
Okay, okay.
Still on it.
Last time we talked, you were trying to get the finish on it.
Yes.
And then roll it down over the sides.
Yes, yes.
So where are we at now?
What I've had to do is I started out, I took like tabletop epoxy, which is already like self-leveling pretty thin. Mm-hmm. I thinned it down a little bit more.
What did you send it with?
Xylene.
Ooh, I've never even worked with that before.
I don't know. To be honest with you, it's the only solvent I had, and I looked it up on the internet, and people were like, yeah, it seems to work okay. And I was like, all right. Whatever. I'm not too concerned about it.
I wonder if there's it. A... Is there
worst like case,
a,
your title is now I ruined my $20,000 chessboard.
Right?
Yeah, truly. Is there a generic name for xylene that I'm unaware of?
I think, like, that's what it is. I don't know. I got it from Total Boat.
Okay.
I've seen it at the big boxes.
Xylene. Yeah, it's... there's xylol in xylene. X-Y-L-E-N-E.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. Okay, interesting.
$30 for a gallon of it? Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's expensive. Yeah. So what I've done is I thinned it down and basically like painted the surface of the chessboard to try to like seal in all the pores and stuff like that, right? Because you know when you pour, especially clear epoxy over wood, no matter what you do, bubbles.
Yeah.
Right? So I did like a coat of that and then kind of sanded it flush. Another coat of that, sanded it flush. Another coat of that, sanded it flush. Then I did like full strength tabletop epoxy. And keep in mind, during this whole endeavor, I have to wait like 5 days between each coat, because when you thin it, it takes even longer to cure.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
I'm like 4 weeks into the finishing process on this thing.
Wow.
Would you be able to do anything else?
Am I what?
Have you been able to do anything else?
No, because I can't cut.
You can't make dust.
There can't be dust in the garage.
Yeah.
So I had to like leaf blow out the whole garage multiple times, vacuum everything, leaf blow it again, and then I'm like, okay, now I can start.
Yeah. Wow. That's...
So...
This is going to be one of those videos, too, where... This is going to be like when I made the QR code table and I spent like 3 weeks working on this damn table. And the video just like, it's so heartbreaking when the video doesn't go to the moon. And you're like, damn it. I'm wrong for your sake because I know that pain and I don't want you to experience it.
I'm going to make about 95 different thumbnails and titles and just absolutely obliterate it with A/B testing.
Yeah.
It has to go somewhere.
Yes.
At least give me 50,000. At least give me 50,000.
So speaking of A/B testing, I started testing. Remember last week how I used the TubeBuddy to analyze which thumbnails were underperforming and which ones had the best opportunity. So I started doing that test, and I've already got some initial results in on it. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see if any of my old videos take off to the moon.
Okay.
Yeah.
I still have that stupid ass pallet wood table that I made a million years ago. Mm-hmm. Like 3 or 4 years ago. It's still, I'm getting like 200,000 views a month on it.
Hell yeah. I was looking, I saw that actually. It was, you had a good title on it right now. It was like, people don't understand this, that this is like, diamond waiting in the rough or something.
Right,
like a fortune to be made with this garbage or something like that.
Right. Here's the stats on it. 2.1 million views just out of nowhere. Flatline for 4 years. Yeah. 3 years.
That's crazy.
Straight up.
Wow.
What the hell? The retention is 20%. Look at that. But it's flat across. I mean, like, that's a great retention graph.
Yeah. True.
But it's in the dump. I mean, you expect that when it's at, you know, two million views.
Yeah. Nobody has crazy retention at that point.
No. Apparently somebody... Oh, I got 98 cents in super likes on that.
Ooh. Super likes. I like that you can get super likes as comments, but nobody ever does it. I think I got one once. Somebody gave me a super thank you.
I think that's
like
what that was.
Yeah.
Like, okay, 90. For the ignorant here, you got to explain a super like. I've not heard of this before.
Dude, I don't know. I just every once in a while that'll be like, "Oh, somebody sent you 99 cents. Thanking you." You're like, "Okay."
It's people can attach a dollar figure, whatever they want, I think, to a comment so that a creator is like more likely to see it, I think is the idea.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah, so you can have like a, you know, you can put $5 on it and then it like sends a notification to the creator.
Let's see here.
Oh, so yeah, okay, so I'm watching a video and I hit the thanks button on the bottom right next to like thumbs up, share, download, thanks, clip.
And it says, there it is.
Click that. And so the one that it suggests is $2. And now it's like I can make whatever comment I want. So it's add a bonus. The above public comment will be published on your behalf. And it says buy a super thanks, which directly supports the creator.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's cool. I mean, I don't think anyone actually does that, but I've seen people use it in like live streams where they're like, because if you like super like it, they like their thing like pops up and like kind of pins to like the top of the chat or whatever.
Yeah.
And like the more money that you pay, like the longer it'll stay on the top of the chat or whatever.
Yeah. And it, like, I think in some chats, like obviously the Off the Cut podcast doesn't have, although, you know, there are people chatting right now, but we don't have one of those ones where it's just flying by. Have you ever seen some of those streamers where it's like, you literally can't even keep track of it?
No, we'll get there one day. We'll get there
one day. Oh, yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, so the chessboard is just about done. I'm happy with the top of it. I'm like, okay, we're good to go.
looks good.
I'm going to let it cure for a week or two, so it's rock hard. Then I'm going to flip it over, and I'm going to sand the bottom, and then I'm going to finish the bottom with just polyurethane so that it fills in those cracks and whatnot, and then I'll be good to go. So the chessboard is now inside, so my shop is open up, and I got a so I got a question for you. This isn't usually something I do, but it's so my buddy who works at works for Milwaukee Tools. He texts me. He's like, "Hey, my girlfriend's in, like kitchen drawer, you know, fell apart because it was made out of melamine." And he's like, any way you could just like put throw together a new drawer box, like you make it out of any scrap wood, don't have to sand it, don't have to finish it, just like basically, you know, four sides and a bottom. He goes, don't have to install any hardware, just give it to me. I can like, you know, install it. I just don't have a table saw or anything. And I was like, I guess. I was like, because, I mean, he's hooked me up with a bunch of stuff in the past, so... I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do it. So I'm going to work on that tomorrow. Okay. And then he texts me, he goes, happy to pay you, or if you want some Milwaukee stuff, just let me know.
Okay.
So here's the question.
What Milwaukee stuff?
What do I ask him for?
Okay, well, let me pull up the old Milwaukee web. You got to ask for some weird, like... Because Milwaukee's pretty good in the sense that they have a very deep product catalog.
Like DeWalt.
So I'm looking at their website right now, and they actually have an electric cordless plate tamper. And I think that is hilarious. So you should definitely ask for
that. Is that like when you you do the, what am I, like you're making a, putting pavers out for a patio and you got to like tamp down
Yeah, it's like a big heavy, it's like, think of a jackhammer, but instead of having a point, it's got a big flat plate. they have a cordless one of those, which I think is wild.
Does it run? Well, I think like, there's 60 volt batteries.
Two of them.
Oh God.
Yeah.
That okay. That's out. I think that's out of the realm of things I'm gonna get. I saw in their M12 lineup, like the little itty bitty battery ones.
Yeah.
They have a cordless pin nailer and a cordless brad nailer. I don't have any nail guns.
Oh, the, well, there you go. That's pretty good.
There you go. Yeah.
I feel like that would be a pretty good one.
I mean, a cordless nail gun is a great little thing to have around the shop. I use them all the time, especially if you just want to glue two pieces together and you want to just nail it together. You want something that's like nice and you just want it to hold while the glue sets.
Yeah.
And then you can go in. It's just little pin nails, so they're super easy to fill and work past.
Sand I use them all and glue the time. Usually works.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I say like look at it like.
Go ahead, Derek. Sorry.
I was going to say, just look at it like that. Like, either what you... Are you just drinking straight out of the bottle?
I am, so... But look how much left. There's, like, not even a whole drink at the bottom. I've got a bottle of bourbon. I'm just drinking straight out of the bottle. But there is literally that much left at the bottom.
I mean, that's drunk, enough. Yeah. That's enough to get you drunk.
You should have topped it off with some tea first.
Yeah.
Before we started.
You ever seen like the videos that Jason Bourbonmouth puts out when he fills it with iced tea and he like downs an entire bottle of bourbon or something during one of his videos? It's funny. There are definitely people that think that's bourbon.
Oh, for sure.
Anyway. So you think a pin nailer, brad nailer would be a good option?
Yeah, not bad.
Something you either need or something that you have that you hate and want to replace.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. What about, there's also this, the borescope, which is just like a camera on the end of a wire, so you can like feed it down things. I think that might be kind of fun. I don't know what you could do with it.
I'm a proctologist.
Exactly, yeah. A little borescope.
That could be a show title, the one where they become proctologists.
You said you have a leaf blower, right? So
I have a DeWalt one, but I'm definitely considered... just moving away from the DeWalt stuff just because I have too many damn battery platforms.
Yeah.
I already did the video about how it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter until you got six.
Yeah.
Right.
Or what about some packouts for organizing?
I'd consider that as well.
I guess you have some sustainers.
Yeah.
So
especially but if you need like small parts organization. Mm-hmm. They got really nice ones.
Yeah, that's true.
And the cost of production to MSRP mm-hmm. differential is probably pretty huge there. Like, I don't think these pack outs actually cost that much to make. So your friend might be willing to give you just a whole bunch of, like, you know, $2,000 right. worth of packouts.
Right.
Really, but they're like $200 to make. The most expensive ones for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I also was looking at their website. What about a heated jacket?
I already have one.
Oh, you already have one. Does it work well? I've always wondered.
Okay. So the Milwaukee heated jacket, here's the thing. It basically has like little coils that run through it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, because it's like a work jacket, it's slightly looser fitting.
Yeah.
And so if the coils aren't touching you, you don't really feel the heat. So what I always tell people, if you're going to invest in a heated something, do the heated vest, because you're going to wear the vest and then you wear like a jacket over it.
Yeah.
The vest is awesome.
Okay. Okay. My thinking with those is always that when I'm out working outside, especially, it's never my core that gets cold. It's always my extremities.
Right. Yeah. Hands and feet.
So I'm always wondering, like, is this just going to... I usually have the problem where I'm too hot through my chest already.
Right.
And it's my, you know, hands and feet that are cold. So I worry that this would exacerbate that problem.
What about heated pants?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. Well, let's see.
I don't know if Milwaukee makes them. But you think nail guns would be pretty good options. I also saw a cordless heat gun.
Cordless heat gun? Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, yeah, that could be actually kind of handy.
It's good for popping bubbles.
Sure.
Work light, yeah.
Yeah.
I bet that heat gun rips through batteries, though.
Oh, for sure. It's literally just converting battery electricity to heat at 100% efficiency.
Yeah. Does Milwaukee make a hot glue gun?
I doubt it. I remember looking, but let's see.
There you go. You can send your Jackery a run for the money and get the power converter. You can plug in one more device.
Oh, dude, I'm getting another one of those battery things.
Oh, really?
From some other company, yeah.
From Inc. Maybe I shouldn't say it. I don't know.
No, it's not that one. Hold on. You know.
Yeah.
With our agency that helps Zach and I, it's like, hey, there's a battery company. It's Yoshino.
Oh, interesting. I haven't heard of that one. So it's funny because Mark was talking to me the other day about another brand. So I guess there's three brands coming to market with these big heavy-duty batteries.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. So what are the other ones that are often in there? We get Jackery, you get Jackery EcoFlow, this Yoshino.
Yes.
The
new one is Anchor Solix.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's that one. There's a bunch of them. I don't know.
Yeah.
You can't keep up with them.
But so, interesting. Like, it must be a pretty lucrative product category because they're all going gangbusters on the ads right now.
It has to, I suppose.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I got another one of those coming, so I'm like, jeez.
So the Jackery.
The Jackery works great.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have that one hidden under the workbench.
I was watching it was so funny because I immediately knew, I was watching your latest video and I immediately knew that it was a Jackery sponsorship because you could just see it off camera. Like,
What was my most recent video?
Maybe it was two videos again. Let me look.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. It's been too long.
Yeah, I noticed it's also been like 2 months since you put out a video, huh?
Yeah. I'm like I said, I got videos ready. We're going through some like final details, nailing down sponsor stuff. So I'll have one out in the next few weeks or so.
Oh yeah, five things I wish somebody told me when I first. It was like your tip for selling more stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I basically just had it sitting in the background the entire time.
Exactly.
It was super obvious.
it was very obvious, but only to me, because I know, because I've had the conversation. But I was like, oh, that's definitely, this is going to be a Jack Reed video, because I can see it right in the opening shot.
Right. They were just like, we just want a bunch of like screen time for it. And I was like, yeah. Okay. I mean, it paid well, so whatever. I think I talked about it for like 30 or 40 seconds or something like that.
Yeah, but it was in almost, it was in like 50 to 60% of the shots.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You sold it more on here than you did on your video.
True. Probably. True. You probably moved a lot of units to the podcast.
Yeah. So it's not worth $3,500 or whatever it is.
Yeah. But again, like, I'm thinking about it, and it's literally just a... We've talked about this before, about how power tool batteries kind of just cost what they cost, and that's why there's not really much variation between a DeWalt battery and a Ryobi battery.
Yeah. Because
It's basically a commodity product. So if you think about something like that, that's just a bunch of lithium-ion cells all wired up in parallel.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So mm-hmm. I get why they're so expensive. It's because there's just a crap ton of lithium ion batteries in there.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's the same as like a Tesla battery, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's probably like 1/8 of a Tesla battery or something like that.
Yeah. Hmm. That would be one of my biggest fears about getting an electric car is like, or a hybrid car for that reason. Like,
yeah,
I bet that battery has got to be $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 to replace.
Oh yeah, for sure. I was looking at the, I've been car shopping again, and I was looking at the F-150 hybrid, and I think Ford has an 8-year warranty on the battery.
How many miles on it?
Like
100,000?
More than that, I think. It was something, it was pretty ridiculous when I was looking at it.
But see, even when you hear those claims, like it's just like any power tool company, like fucking, there it is, Rigid. With their bullshit lifetime warranty thing, where it's just like, well, kind of. Like, you know what I mean? It's just a bunch of marketing hype, and it's just, no one actually knows what they're getting.
Oh, you're right.
I gotta say, my Rigid batteries blow out, go a lot faster than my DeWalt ones do.
Whenever I'm
using similar tools, the Rigid ones just, it blows right through them so much faster.
Mm.
Yeah, well, the only DeWalt batteries I've ever lost have been really, really old 1.5 amp hours. I've never had...
Oh, I just mean, like, it runs down faster, the Rigids do.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
They don't hold it as long, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I haven't lost a battery since I got rid of Ryobi. It was every 2 years guaranteed.
But yeah, so Ryobi, you could just call. There's like a phone number. You could just call them, and then they just like send you batteries. You could call every
I'd take them back into Home Depot, and they'd swap them out for me, no problem.
Oh, really?
But they would only last about 2 years.
Right.
Yeah, that's still a hassle.
Hmm.
I'd rather just have a battery that actually lasted rather than having to go replace them all the time.
Right. So, Zach, you're looking up the warranty for these lithium batteries in the cars?
Yeah, so you're right. So it's 8 years or 100,000 miles.
So if you're buying the car new or like a one, you buy it used after like a 1 year lease or whatever, like you'd be good for several years. But if you're somebody who buys a car with like, you know, I don't know, 75,000 miles on it, like, man, that'd scare me, right? To like get like a hybrid car or an electric car, and like you don't know. I mean, you could you might have bought this truck for, you know, 15-20 grand.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a year later you're 10-15 grand in the hole buying a new battery for this thing. Like,
well, I think the nice thing about a hybrid is at least if the battery goes, you're just driving a gas vehicle at that point.
Right. Right.
So, a gallon at a time.
Right. So,
but you know what I mean?
It really isn't.
Thinking that you could get just absolutely hosed with a battery powered car, potentially.
Potentially, yeah.
If you didn't buy it new.
I've seen actually guys who will do DIY battery swaps on old Priuses, because you can get old Priuses for relatively cheap when their battery packs die. And a lot of the time, it's not the entire battery pack that's dead. It's just one specific cell in the battery. So they crack the battery open, replace the cell, and all of a sudden, you know, for $100 fix, you have this basically fully functional Prius.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when we were looking for Miranda's car, like a couple, you know, I don't know, 6 months ago or something like that. We saw so many of those Chevy Volts that were all like 60 to 70,000 miles on it. And we're like, it's like $7,000. Like, why is this so cheap? Yeah. And then I did a little bit of internet research. It was like people just unload the cars at like 50, 60,000 miles because the battery costs more than the car is worth at that time.
Right, right. They also had some crazy promo. My friend was living in LA and he was car shopping. I was kind of helping him with it. He's like, dude, I'm really tempted to get the Chevy Volt or the Chevy Bolt. I can't remember which one it was because they had so many layers of incentives on it. Chevy had a incentive on it. The state of California had an incentive on it. He was like, I can get a brand new car and my lease payment will be $50 a month.
Huh.
Wow.
So, so I think there was also probably a lot of people took them up on that offer. And then as soon as the lease period was up, just got rid of it right away. So there's probably a flood of them on the used car market.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you know what I just thought? Would it, and this is something up your alley, Zach, because you're the tech guy. Whenever you get like tool combo kits, they always give you those shitty batteries that are like 1 amp hour that lasts for like you drive in 3 screws and they're dead.
Yeah, like, the 1.5 amp hour special. Yeah.
I want at least like a 3 or 4 amp hour battery.
Yeah.
Could you make a DeWalt super battery?
Ooh.
Like something just asinine, like a 28 amp hour battery. And this could be like a Valentine's Day special. Or like a April Fool's Day special. You put it out like, I made, you know, the strongest battery, right? And then you 3D print it where you have your drill, and then you have like, it looks like a Pringles can coming out the bottom of your drill.
I'm almost positive you could. I don't see any reason why you couldn't. You just wire up all the batteries in parallel, and yeah, you might even be able to do it by just like with just jamming wires.
I know.
Okay, yeah, that's a good. I like that idea. I'm gonna try.
It would
that.
Be fun. It would be. Yeah. Here's how you can do it: is if you can find like a bunch of used DeWalt batteries or something, or just reach out to your guy at DeWalt. I mean,
you know how many 1.5 amp hour batteries I have. That I can never use.
Because if you're going to buy any tool, you buy the damn combo kit.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I wish they'd let you save $15, $20. Be like, I don't want the charger, though. You keep the charger.
Oh, you know how many chargers I have? I have even more chargers than I have 1.5 amp hour batteries.
Dude, I'm the same way. I have so many damn chargers. And some of the tools, I'm like, all right. Like, if I get the like some of the Festool tools, I'll just keep the charger in the sustainer so that when I take the tool somewhere, I'm like, oh, it's got the charger in there, like good to go. But I've got to have 8 or 9 of those chargers, and I really only need like one in the shop, really, maybe two. Like, batteries though. Am I right?
Batteries.
Oh, well, Derek, what's the biggest DeWalt battery that they have?
12 amp hours.
Is that like the 60 volt one or 40 volt?
Yeah, it's the flex volt. It comes with the lawnmower because I have it and it came with two of them.
Oh man,
I want to know. Go, sorry, Zach. You go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say the batteries probably cost more than the lawnmower.
Right.
Probably.
So I see all these power tool companies.
Mm-hmm.
Did you lose me?
No, you're good.
Oh, I just heard uh-oh.
It froze on me up my end for a minute.
Oh, no,
you're okay. You're all good.
I hear all these power tool companies and mostly like Ryobi. I mean, you hear a lot of like the Green Works and like what's the other like big lawnmower one? Eco something?
Flex.
I think there's one that's just called Eco, isn't there?
Battery powered
like that.
Ergo. I think Ergo is it.
Yeah.
So those companies tend to market like their lawnmower and whatever, you know, their battery powered lawnmower pretty heavily. But Milwaukee, Makita, DeWalt, they don't really push their like battery powered lawn stuff.
I know, and it's really weird too, because we've talked about this on the show before, but these brands are all owned by one larger company, right? So in the case of DeWalt, it's Stanley Black & Decker.
Right.
Well, Stanley Black & Decker owns dedicated yard work companies. Right. I can't even remember what it's called, but it's...
Yeah.
I think they actually own two of them. So that's why I'm like, why does DeWalt have outdoor tools? Craftsman has outdoor tools, and also they have a dedicated company for yard work tools. Right. It makes no sense to me.
Well, I think they advertise the cheap ones. And then whenever I go into my local Home Depot, it's primarily black and yellow is what I see. Or the Ryobi stuff.
Right. Mm.
In like the lawn care area for mower or whatever.
So you go in there looking for the cheap stuff, but then you're dazzled by all the fancier looking yellow and black ones, and you think, oh yeah, well, you know, for a little bit more, I'll just go this route here.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
I was talking to my dad today, and he was doing some yard work.
Yeah.
And he has this, I don't even know what the brand is, of like Weed Whacker and a couple other things. And I'm like, why would you buy that? Like, he's searching. He's looking all through the shop. He's like, I know the battery for the Weed Whacker's in here somewhere.
Right.
And I'm like, why? Just get the DeWalt Weed Whacker, the Craftsman. We got, like, walls. We have stacks of these batteries.
Right.
It's like, oh, yeah, why didn't I do that?
And I guess that's what I'm kind of getting at is, like, let's say you're in the DeWalt segment. Derek, give us the honest feedback. How is, like, the DeWalt mower? Is it a pretty good mower?
Well, I had the Ryobi before that, it's better than that.
Okay.
It runs a lot longer than the Ryobi. The Ryobi, I would rotate out both of my batteries in my lawn, and I get to almost the end of the second battery. Mm. On the DeWalt, I'm using one battery, and that's it. Okay. I don't have to cycle them. Although you do have to load them both at the same time, but they don't. Neither one of them go below half.
Okay.
So it lasts pretty good. However, whenever it's like anything with DeWalt, whatever comes stock, you kind of got to make some adjustments. So I mowed for a few months and I was like, you know, it's bogging down all the time. There's something off here. The grass doesn't look that great. And then I got to looking at it and the blade was dull. It was just dull as hell. I had to sharpen that up. And once I sharpened it up, it was like night and day. That thing, it just plowed right through everything that I put in front of it. It didn't bog down anymore. Everything looked, the grass looked a lot cleaner cut. The only issue I've had with it is it's supposed to be rear wheel drive, self propelling or whatever. I can't get it to propel itself.
Really?
And I don't know what the issue is there. I think there's like a disengaged gear somewhere and I just haven't taken the time to figure out why it's not engaging.
Sounds like a warranty claim to
me. Yeah.
You guys want to know how small my yard is? I have a front yard and a backyard, but they're both so small that I cut the grass with a weed whacker.
I thought you were going to say scissors. Nail clippers. Well, you know who else cuts their yard with a weed whacker?
Our new patrons.
Our new patron. And new this week is Jason Bent's son, Leo.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
I don't actually know if it's Jason Bent's son, but their name on Patreon is just Leo, which I'm pretty sure is Jason Bent's son.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to assume that this is him rebelling. How old is his son?
I don't know. A couple years old. He's pretty young.
Well, he's going through his rebellious phase early then.
Yeah. I don't know. Somewhere between 2 and 6, I would imagine.
Yeah. Screw you, Dad. I'm going to listen to Off the Cut.
Yeah, I don't know anything about kids.
That's good. If you knew too much, I would suspect you of being a pedophile.
Hey, I am now allowed going close to schools on the weekend.
I got that expunged from my record.
How dare you bring that up? That was 10 years ago. Well, the other people that are allowed going near schools with children in them are returning top tier patrons. We've got Christopher Johnson, Josh at Freedom Workshop, Brooke Appler, Grizzly Bear Woodworks, Dadu, Luke Schmidt, Corey Duvall, Jason Price at Priceless Pro Designs. Oh, this list is getting long. Scott Eastman at EC's Woodshop, and of course the Power Cocker, formerly known as Wes.
Wesy Wes.
And we've got exciting news for all the patrons and non-patrons out there. We are officially changing up the Patreon perks to provide you guys more value and make it better, because we know that the merch situation, the way Patreon handled it, was an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
So we're changing that up to make it easier for everybody. And we're adding some additional fun stuff, like, hangouts with us, hangouts with the group, so we can have some like live interaction. But really the main draw of it is you get the after show. And you're not afraid.
And also you get to submit your green suitors burns that we will read on air.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
That's so, the main draw.
Yeah, so those, by the time this podcast comes out, all the new Patreon perks will be live. Mm-hmm. So take a look at patreon.com/offthecutpodcast if you want to support what we're doing here. And if not, just keep listening to the show. That's cool too.
I'm looking forward to doing the live hangouts. I think that's going to be fun.
As am I. And these are always in motion things. So we're going to have the live hangouts on certain tiers, but depending on how it goes, maybe we move it down a tier, up a tier, or something like that. You know,
we'll figure it out.
But at the end of the day, this is for you guys. So whatever you want from us, if there are certain things you would like to see us offer, let us know. Like, we're not dictators here, unlike the jerks at the Green Suitors podcast, available on Apple and Spotify. Okay, we got that out of the way. Well, we got anything else we want to chat about? You got anything?
We were going to do, or were we going to save that for the after show? We were going to redo Derek's logo.
Do that in the after show. We also got a question that's going to get you fired up in the after show.
Oh, baby.
From Steve at Milton Woodworking.
Okay, well, we're on the subject of main show stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're not on the subject. This is a completely new topic. But I'm going to bring it up.
It's a good segue, though.
Yeah, it's a great segue, right? That's why I can paint the big bucks.
Yeah.
AI. I want to talk a little bit about AI and some of its uses as it pertains to being a creator. Because I was actually playing around with it earlier this week or last week. I can't remember. But I was using it for my thumbnails.
Yes.
So here's one common issue that I always have with my thumbnails. I'll be like, ooh, that would make for a good thumbnail, like a screen cap from the video. I'm like, oh, that would make for a perfect thumbnail, but it's too small. There's not enough like negative space for me to add my text or for me to, you know, put something and then have an arrow coming off it that points to something there. So what I did, I was playing around in Photoshop, and Photoshop now has this ability to create more background space, like extend the frame of a photo.
Yeah.
So I took the screen cap that I had and I was like, I just want it to be like 25% bigger on the left and 25% bigger up above. And it took a few tries to get to it, but it did get to it.
And it's good.
It's good. It's definitely good enough for a thumbnail. It might not necessarily pass if somebody was like really scrutinizing it. Because it was like you've actually seen it. It was the thumbnail for my latest N64 video.
I would have never known.
Yeah. If you look close, you'll see that the hand's like a little bit screwed up in one place, but it's fine. It's like, and then I was redoing another thumbnail and I was like, oh, I need a Derek's pulling it up right now.
Can't tell. Oh, you're gonna mess up. Oh, he's gonna destroy your watch time.
Audience retention.
One out of 50,000 is gonna be trash.
And then scroll down a little bit further, Derek. Let me see if this other one that I did. Oh no, it's not coming up. I did another one where I needed a picture of a broken laptop. And, you know, it can actually be kind of sometimes hard to find specific stock art. And you could, so I used Photoshop. I was like, I just drew a box and I was like, generate me a photo of a broken laptop. And boom, it did it like that. So it's pretty cool.
That's one thing I haven't done is an entirely just AI thumbnail, but I'm definitely considering it.
I mean, why not? Like, especially these days, I've, like, transitioned to just, like, I used to take photos. I'd try and get, like, me perfectly in frame with, like, the subject that I wanted to show and, like, try and set my camera to do interval shooting so it would take a bunch of photos and then just kind of move around a little bit. Now I just manufacture them.
Right.
You know, I'll take a photo of one thing, stick it with another one, give it a fake background. Yeah.
And your thumbnail strategy seems to be working pretty well. Like, isolate your subject, have bright colors in the background, and then, like, a word or two text.
Yeah. Simple.
Very clean.
Very clean. It's consistent, too, which I've been trying to go. That was part of the reason I wanted to go back and redo some old ones, is I want it to be recognizable as one of my videos.
Fair.
You know what I mean? Like you see this kind of format, you're like, oh, that's a Zach Builds video.
You see, mine's just some random ass photo that I jack up the contrast and saturation.
But you have a style. Well, like you did for a while. I guess you're kind of getting away from it now a little bit lately. But you had very simple, like clean, very easy to see what was going on photos, right?
Yeah. It's usually a really, really tight shot of something.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's some that I'm playing around with trying to – some of them work – I've found have worked better with text, without text. It's just something I'm always constantly doing. But I got to get into the AI thing. The you know one thing I did use the AI thing for?
What's that?
No one has noticed? We – Miranda and I got engagement photos, I don't know, like a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we're sending out, like – the stupid ass cards, because apparently you can't just text somebody a link. No, you have to spend hundreds of dollars.
GPT make like a thank you letter for you.
That's smart.
Save the date.
Yeah, it's like just save the dates, right? And it's it's like, we gotta buy all these. It's like, why can't we just text people? She's like, you can't do that. So we gotta get whatever. We got fancy ass envelopes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Derek, this is not one that you randomly clip and put it on Instagram. Yeah. Randy, your notes look incredible, but she's like, what do you think about the photo we put on here? And obviously my response is whatever, you know, whatever photo you like best, right? Mm-hmm. Well, she gives me a photo that's it's a portrait, so it's tall and skinny.
Okay.
And she wants it on a landscape. Mm-hmm. Save the date. She goes, how do I do this? I was like, what do you mean? She goes, I want this photo, but it doesn't fit. I don't want to zoom in on it. And I was like, well, choose a different photo. She goes, no, this is the one I want. And I'm making her sound mean. She's not mean.
Yeah.
She's the nicest person in the world. I gotta make sure to clarify that. And then I got to thinking, oh my gosh, I can use the AI generative thing. So I did what you said. It was a portrait photo, and I basically just selected the outsides, and it was like a photo on a bridge or whatever. And you select the outsides, and then Photoshop prompts you, like, what do you want me to fill this with? So I just said bridge, and then it gave me like three or four options. I just pressed the arrows, and then the one that it came up with, you would never know that it wasn't actually part of the photo. In fact, we sent all the notes, and then I like asked some people. I was like, hey, do you know that photo is fake? And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like,
that's so cool.
Only about 25% of that photo was actually taken. Like, the majority of the edges of it were completely AI generated. And they're like, I have no idea.
To me all the time, too, when I take a lot of time I'll try and use vertical video or horizontal video to create vertical video posts. I wonder if we'll get to the point in the future where we can just have AI give you a little bit more top and bottom.
Ooh.
So you can switch formats like seamlessly. Ooh, I mean, what is smart. A video? It's just a bunch of still frames stitched together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, we know now that like when we're trying to generate the sides of stuff, even a photo, it takes 15, 20 seconds, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. So I had dinner with
film square, and then crop how you need
to. That's what I want is a camera with a square sensor. First company that comes out with a square sensor camera, I'm all over it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I was out to dinner with a buddy of mine last night, and he's a big tech guy. And he pays for the premium version of Midjourney. And Midjourney is like one of the main AI generating things.
That's one of the ones that does visuals, right?
Yeah, it's all visual based. Okay. So he was showing me his premium account. And the Midjourney stuff is leagues better than what the Photoshop can do. So it's interesting. Even though like the Photoshop stuff is quite competitive, there's still like another level even above that.
So in that Midjourney thing, could you type in "make me a YouTube thumbnail for a Nintendo 64 that I built myself"? And like, would it make you something interesting?
I don't know. That's a good question. He said he would share his account with me, so I'll let you know.
Okay. So how much does that account run?
I think like, he was saying he pays $50 a month, but there was a cheaper tier. Like he's got.
You said 50.
50, yeah. Okay. And honestly, I was thinking about it, you know, like I pay a bunch of monthly fees for stuff for the channel. I was like, oh, you know, maybe if there was a cheaper one, like let me see what subscription plans here.
See, my biggest issue is with this AI stuff is I don't know how to access most of it. So this Midjourney thing, I just go on like midjourney.com or something?
No, Midjourney is so annoying. I think it's all done through Discord.
Oh, I'm out.
Yeah, you have to like send messages to a bot on Discord. It's really annoying.
Huh. Because the ChatGPT, like I just have the app. So I just basically open it up and it's like typing something into Google and then it just comes back. Like that's easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully Midjourney gets there one day, but right now it's kind of annoying.
But why would you do it through Discord? What's the advantage for running something like that?
Dude, I have no idea.
It's not like they have any like sort of like crazy proprietary software or like anything like that that's not readily available somewhere else, right?
Well, it's probably how their algorithm works.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they have some Discord.
I'm sure they have some proprietary technology, but I don't know why Discord would be the way to do it.
Yeah. So, like, what other ways do you think AI would be able to benefit us as creators?
I don't know. I was thinking, I mean, definitely you could have ChatGPT write captions for you if you wanted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I tried to do it for a long time, have ChatGPT write summaries of my YouTube videos, like blog posts.
Okay.
The problem is ChatGPT doesn't have access to the internet. It only has the internet up until the year like 2021 or something like that.
So what if you took a transcript of your video and plugged it in?
So that's what I did to try and work around it. But the problem was that you're limited by how much you can input into ChatGPT. I had to then transcript my video, break it up into pieces, and between each message I would have to say, like I would have to prompt it to then like combine the two messages. It was really annoying. It was like a very clunky workaround, but it did kind of work. It was just, I don't think it was any actually faster than just summarizing myself.
Right. But you're like me, and the last thing you want to do is write a whole big block of text. You'd rather copy and paste a bunch of stuff.
Exactly. That's very true.
That makes sense. So you can see like summaries of things.
Yeah.
I can see like that Midjourney thing would be like excellent to like come up with like merch, like you know, t-shirt designs and stuff like that.
Yeah, like that's something that we talked about. Or you know, you could even use it as a jumping off point for a project. You could be like, hey, Midjourney, design me a cool modern chair. And then it would like, you know, give you like when you give it a prompt, it gives you like 9 iterations of it, I think. So you could even just see like, okay, well, I like this one the best. And then like, okay, do this one, but then like tweak this, tweak that.
Okay.
And so you could start like dialing it on it like that. You could say, oh, I want a mid-century style dining room table with matching chairs. And you don't necessarily have to use the design it gives you, but it could be a way to help you iterate on ideas faster.
Right, right. Rather than just going to Google Images and being like, oh, I'm going to copy what they have at Pottery Barn or whatever, right?
Exactly. Or, you know, sitting at a chair and just sketch, you know, sitting at a table and sketching 10 different desks. Like, yeah. So that's another way. I don't know. I'm kind of excited just for thumbnails, honestly. Being able to just have it generate like pretty good quality clip art that I can then. So I'm always worried about getting copyright struck for using clip art and stuff like that. Because a lot of times, like if you need Arrow or something like that, what do? You go to Google Images.
Yeah.
You type in Arrow PNG, and you're like, oh, I think it'll be okay if I use this one. It doesn't say it's copyrighted, but you never know.
That's interesting, though, because a lot of people, I don't think, realize that. That we all know that, you know, if you have a, I don't know, a photo, like a sports photo or whatever, and it says, like, Getty Images or, like, AP Images, Associated Press, like, stuff like that. Yeah. We are like, I get that that's a copyrighted image. I can't just slap it on there. But then you're like your example. Oh, I want an Arrow.
Yeah,
I'll just slap that on there. Well, that Arrow photo can also be copyrighted, and technically you're using a copyrighted photo in your thumbnail, and like you could get demonetized for that.
I know. I've always, anytime I take like an Arrow from the internet, I'm always make sure I modify it in some way.
Oh.
Well, like scale it and like change the ratio and like edit it, put an outline around it and stuff like that. So, but it's, I run into this issue all the time, too, where I'll want, you know, those, like, technical drawings that kind of, like, explain how something works?
Oh, yeah.
Like, in a video I did a schematic. Little while ago, a schematic or something, I wanted a picture that explained how a heat pipe worked.
Okay.
And I went on Google, I typed in, you know, how does a heat pipe work diagram, and I got a bunch of results, but I was like, I don't think I can use any of these because somebody sat down and created this for their business, and it's like I don't know if it's really right to then put it in my YouTube video that it's a commercial product because I'm making money from it. So
yeah. So would you be able, because I've done this when I've used like clips from other folks' YouTube videos,
yeah,
and I will put like, if I don't know, like I don't know, say I was like, I took a clip from one of your videos or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd put the clip up, and then the bottom I would be like, source, Zach Builds, and then like, yes. Put like, is that the equivalent of like when you were in high school and you had to do like the citation thing?
Citation.
Right?
I mean, I've definitely done that, and I think that that's okay. I think that falls under the category of fair use.
Okay.
But I don't know, to be 100% honest with you. So better to
it's all about how much of it you use too. So you can only go for so long. I think it's like between 5 and 15 seconds is the max amount of time you can use before you're open to a potential copyright strike. But then it's all about that person and whether they want to pursue it or not. So with Zach's video, if you went with like a 30-second clip, it's up to him if he wants to come after you for that or not.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just so much wishy-washy unknownness to the whole thing that.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, AI gives you a path to eliminate some of that risk, get rid of some of that wishy-washiness, right? Because if you're paying for a license for some AI thing, I assume you're getting Actually, that's a good question. I don't know. Like, does AI art generated by Photoshop or Adobe, does Adobe then have some sort of copyright claim over that? I wouldn't think so, but maybe.
That's currently being debated as far as who owns copyright on digital art. Because I think there was some issue with, like, some show recently used AI art, generated art to create in one of their promotional images. And it became a copyright issue because they're trying to determine who that copyright belongs to and you know, who has rights to that and if they can use it and so on and so forth.
I'm actually on the Midjourney website right now, and there's a whole page explaining usage rights, and it is very dense.
That's a read.
Yeah, it is a read and a half.
But I mean, I totally get both sides. So like, let's totally make this up. we work for McDonald's, okay? Uh-huh. And Zach and I get tasked to make a flyer, like a window decal, you know, where they're like, the new Big Mac, $2 or whatever. It's slapped in a little, you know, vinyl decal they slap on the windows or whatever. Mm-hmm. Zach comes to me on a Friday morning and he goes, hey, Eric, how about we just toss a couple prompts into AI? We get this, you know, this banner banged out in about 5 minutes and we go to the ball.
It's Miller time.
It's Miller time. Sure. Yeah. I'd be like, man, Zach, that's a good idea. So you type in like McDonald's Big Mac promo, say it's 2 for $4, bright colors, you know, give it some prompts or whatever. It spits one out and we go, boom, done. Is that now intellectual property of McDonald's, you know, media branch, or because we did nothing other than prompts, does it belong to AI?
I wouldn't say nothing, because I think there is going to see, and you're going to see this more and more, that being a good prompt generator is a skill.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To sit there and say, what's that?
I was going to say, I can't search for anything. I can't, you know, my search skills are very limited.
Right. But like I was hanging out with my friend and I was like, okay, like I want a picture of a broken laptop. And so he punched it in. He's like, okay, what do you want the background to be? I was like, oh, I want a transparent background. He's like, okay, no problem. He's like, what aspect ratio do you want it to be? I was like, oh, just 1:1. And he's like, okay, no problem. So he knew how to do all of these things like super quickly, exactly what to say to it. So there is a skill to prompting in the right way so that you get the outcome that you want.
That makes sense. I mean, it's no different than like when Google first came out. When Google first came out, if you typed in, how do I tie my shoes? Google's like, ah, the hell are you talking about? I don't know how to give you information on that. You would have to be like, what? Shoe tying technique, shoe strategy of tying, like, exactly. You know, stuff like that. But now you could type in, how do I tie my shoes? And it'd have no problem. I think AI will be the same.
That used to be the sign of a technically illiterate person. I remember back in the day when somebody would type something into search engine in the form of a question, you'd be like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. But now it works perfectly fine. But back then it didn't.
No, you're absolutely right. Huh. Yeah. Interesting. Well, we got some interesting questions we want to get to. And it might actually stem into the AI aspect. And we're going to hit those in the after show. And that's where we're going right now.
See ya.
We'll see you on the next one.